Lou Dobbs is back with us this afternoon. Lou, of course, hosts his show on CNN every evening, and we've had him on the show a couple of times, and he's out with a brand new book called War on the Middle Class, How the Government, Big Business, and Special Interest Groups Are Waging War on the American Dream and How to Fight Back. Lou, welcome back to KMOX.
Thank you very much, Paul. Good to talk with you.
Always having a pleasure having you on the show here, and nice to see them giving you a little bit more time on CNN as we head towards the election as well.
Absolutely. Thank you.
You say in the book, the reality is that Americans today are caught up in a class war. Who is waging that war?
Straightforwardly, corporate America, with business practices that invite illegal immigration, that ship middle-class jobs, good-paying middle-class jobs, to cheap overseas labor markets. The political elites, frankly, from both parties, who are doing nothing for working men and women in this country and their families, and in many cases working very hard simply to neglect them and focus on their on corporate America for legislative initiatives and special interest.
Because you focus in the book not just on the problems but proposed solutions, that's
right.
One of the things I want to talk to you about here, and you put it right in the title of the book. So how do the members of the middle class in America fight back?
Beginning with participatory democracy, getting involved in politics and public education. Public education, Paul, as you know, is, in my opinion, the great equalizer of this society. And public education in this country is simply not working. But getting involved at the local level, and I recommend that, and I say in the book, right out front, I no longer take seriously anyone who considers themselves a Democrat or a Republican in this country, because there's not a dime's worth of difference between these two primary parties in terms of who they're working for, who's funding them, and the results that are being achieved in Congress. And therefore, I suggest to people that they send a loud message that the middle class, working men and women in this country will no longer be taken for fools by either party, and that they send this message to the Republican National Committee, the Democratic National Committee, by registering either as unaffiliated with any party or registering as an independent.
You said there's not a dime's worth of difference. If it were only a dime's worth of difference, would be okay. It's the billions of dollars worth of difference that between those elites that you're talking about and people in the middle class that really makes the problem, isn't it?
It's certainly part of it. The idea that a CEO in this day and age is making, if you're in the Fortune 1000, a CEO is making just about 400 times what the average employee of his or her company is earning. Across all corporations in America, a study just came out 2 weeks ago showing that across all of the corporations in this country, that the CEO makes on average 262 times that of the average employee, which means that the CEO earns in one day what it takes all year for that so-called average employee to earn. And that is just, that is greed at its worst, it's excess at its worst, it's un-American.
Is that higher than it ever has been historically?
It got a little higher back in 2000 during the internet and technology bubble, but this is unconscionably high. It compares to other countries by 6 to 7 times worse than in other countries. America is the land of the corporation made for looting.
You don't think we should have a maximum wage in this country, do you?
I really don't. I think that decency, civility, caring about people would suggest that that corporate leaders who talk about leadership would understand that this kind of excess is just disgusting and sends a horrible message to all Americans.
Yeah, it drives me crazy when I hear about a company that fires 1,000 people and the CEO of that company, which is not doing well financially,
right,
then gets either a golden parachute or a bonus that's 7 or 8 figures. You know, here's $40 million. Oh, you fired 1,000 people. That's 1,000 people you could have given $40,000 to.
You're exactly right. And it's the kind of unconscionable statement that's being made all the time by too many CEOs in too many companies in this country.
Speaking of CEOs, what did you think of Jeffrey Skilling getting 24 years?
Adios.
Do you think that's about right?
I think I think as good as we get. But when you think of the lives that were torn up, the money that was lost by employees in particular and investors, 24 years is, I think, a very humane result for him.
Talking with Lou Dobbs from CNN about his book, War on the Middle Class, here on the Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX. Let's talk about people who are in the workplace and have been for a long time, and the death of the pension in this country. And I think one of the things that gets underreported is how there used to be guarantees at the government level that if your company screwed up with your pension money, you were going to be okay. That's not true anymore, is it?
No, it isn't. And the pension benefit guarantee agency, the administration, is itself now going bankrupt. It has about $24 billion available to handle just about $100 billion in potential liability. And it's not functioning, nor can it be expected to function because no one is funding it. And the number of companies with unfunded pension liabilities is far too large in this country. And whether one is talking about pensions or health care insurance, corporate America is cutting those benefits back. And the result is we have about 46 million people in this country without any kind of health care coverage. And we have got to come to terms with the fact that we have people in this country in desperate need of availing themselves to the best health care system in the world. But the middle class is being priced out of it. The very poor have social and medical programs available to them. The very wealthy obviously don't need them. But the middle class can be devastated by a single medical crisis or catastrophe. Half of the bankruptcies, just about half of the bankruptcies in this country, personal bankruptcies, come about because of a medical disaster in the family. Yet the bankruptcy law of 2005 was rewritten to benefit, of course, creditors, and it was actually written by the credit card companies themselves. So that's the kind of representation the middle class is receiving right now.
And Lou, I remember reading about a year ago a commentary, and forgive me, don't know the woman's name who wrote it, but she talked about the lack of an uproar from the middle class. And in part, she believed that it was because of this attitude, if you will, of Americans, that if I can go to Olive Garden every now and then, if I can go to the movies, if I can go out to eat, I can buy a new car every, you know, 6 or 7 years, then I'm kind of okay. Where do you think that the lack of an uproar, what is that based in?
You know, I wish I knew. I write about in War on the Middle Class the ennui that is gripping this country, a passive sort of acceptance of a deteriorating circumstance for middle-class Americans. I think in part it's because, Carol, our middle class, when we're fortunate enough to have two parents in a household, both are likely to be working. People's time is being compressed to such a point that it was unimaginable 40 years ago. And two parents working in that household are achieving just about the same standard of living as one parent working 40 years ago with a stay-at-home mother and with kids in school. We're going in entirely the wrong direction. And middle-class Americans have got to awaken to the fact that they're not just consumers. They are citizens, and they've got to be involved as citizens. And we've got to insist that corporate America and our political elites in both parties don't regard the United States of America first as a marketplace and an economy, but rather as a nation, and that we've got to return the words corporate responsibility and corporate citizenship to the language of the day, instead of listening to CEOs talk about productivity, competitiveness, and efficiency, when what they're really using are code words for the cheapest possible labor. They've put the middle class of this country in direct competition with the cheapest labor in the world.
But, Lou, unfortunately, telling people how they should act is not going to work, because the almighty dollar is more powerful than anything else in this country, particularly right. When it comes to this sort of thing, particularly at the corporate and political levels. So is it possible to do things at the legislative level, get laws passed that will put these things in force?
I think it is possible. But first, we're going to have to find the candidates to put into office who will actually take action. You know, this election that we're coming up on, this very important midterm election, suddenly the savants are saying what looked like it would be a Democratic victory 2 weeks ago in the heat of the Mark Foley, what I consider to be nothing more than a wedge issue, the national media particularly focusing on Mark Foley. It looked as though the Democrats were going to roll through both the Senate and the House and take control. Today, most of the important races are considered to be toss-ups around the country, certainly for the Senate, and the gaps are closing for the House. It's not clear that incumbents are going to be thrown out. It's not clear that we're going to see much of a turnout. Our primary elections resulted in the lowest turnout in this country's history for a midterm election, 15%. So when, you know, as Carol was suggesting, the very idea that this middle class is not outraged at what is happening to it and what they're permitting to happen to them is really mind-boggling.
I know you concentrate on these things on a regular basis on your show on CNN, but you just talked about how the national media likes to concentrate on other things than what are really the important things. Do you ever say to your colleagues in the building at CNN, hey, 11 straight days of this is enough. Let's get back to talking about what matters.
You know, Paul, I don't know how it works there at KMOX, but I'm the managing editor for my one-hour broadcast, and I try to repair to the highest standard I know as a journalist and as a citizen. I choose not to focus on what other people are doing at this network or any other network, so I try to take care of my own knitting, if you will.
Gee, that's exactly the way I run this show. Same concept, and it seems to work. Let me play devil's advocate on a couple of things for you. You complain about this, but the economy is fine, and millions of jobs have been created.
Yes, sir. The fact is those jobs have been created. They've been created at a rate just about half what is typical for a post-World War II recovery. And the jobs that are being created are not paying what jobs that were lost were paying. We've lost just about 4 million manufacturing jobs. We've lost 3 million middle-class jobs to outsourcing. And the jobs that are being that are replacing them, when men and women who have lost those jobs can replace a job they've lost to outsourcing or to so-called free trade, they're receiving wages about 20 to 30% less than the job they had held previously. That's unacceptable.
You talk about illegal immigration a lot and outsourcing of jobs. There are, again, this is on the devil's advocate side here.
Sure.
There are lots of American farmers who are not finding the help that they need because they can't find Americans, legal Americans, who would be willing to come and pick their tomatoes at $8.50, $9, $12 an hour, whatever it may be. And so they've been forced to use illegals, but the recent scares about it have scared some of them off, and many of them have had to plow under millions of dollars worth of produce.
Well, my heart goes out to those poor farmers. Let's be clear about who we're talking about when we talk about poor farmers. We're talking about primarily corporate farmers, large agribusinesses, that are refusing to pay living wages to Americans to work in their fields. I'm one of the few people that you will talk to, who you'll talk to, Paul, who's actually worked with migrant workers in the fields, picking beans, picking potatoes, hauling hay. These are terrific people. And even 40 years ago, when I was working in the field, almost 40 years ago, the farmers were individual farmers. They provided housing through their cooperatives to migrant labor. Folks in Arizona and California in particular are not providing housing. They expect the taxpayer to pick up the health care bills for these migrant workers, pay for their the social and medical costs while they reap the benefits. We reported on the study, we've reported a number of times on the study done about a year ago, that if you double the wages for labor working in the produce fields of the southwestern United States, just about doubled it, it would add 10 cents to the cost of a head of lettuce. And I don't think there's any American who wouldn't be willing to pay an extra 10 cents for living wages to be paid in our fields. The idea that these people have the temerity to suggest that illegal immigration somehow has slowed is an absolute, straightforwardly, it's a lie, because our borders remain porous. The flow of illegal aliens and drugs across our border with Mexico, it continues unabated.
One last devil's advocate point. You talk often about outsourcing, and you also talk about, you know, people are not making the kind of money they need to so they can participate. When we outsource our jobs, we are helping people on a global level become part of a global economy.
That's right.
What do you respond to that?
Well, if you want to build a middle class in India and Romania, the Philippines, and other countries around the world by cutting our middle class, then I can't possibly side with you, because you've taken the side of the political elites and the corporate orthodoxy in this country who really don't give a damn about American workers and their families. And you're going to have to put me down as adamantly opposed.
Yeah, I thought I might. By the way, any chance you're going to be named the U.S. Chamber of Commerce Man of the Year anytime soon?
No, and I'm not being invited to many galas at the White House.
I wouldn't think you would. You're doing terrific work, Lou, and it's always a pleasure watching you and having you back on the show. And the book is a great read. It's called War on the Middle Class. The man lays it out in simple terms about what has happened to the middle class in this country. And it's not just one political party or the other. When he says the government, he doesn't just mean this national government. He means overall in this country, the people who are supposed to be our leaders, both at the political level and at the business level, who have just abandoned Americans by the tens of millions.
Paul, it's great to be with you. I thank you very much, Carol. Thank you very much. Best to you both.
Always
thank
a pleasure you. Having you on. Lou Dobbs from CNN here on the Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX.